Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. I'm Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and we're here every Saturday morning on News Talk 870. Of course, we always like to thank everybody at the station for working to make this show happen, and especially our co-host and Mr. Trouble, John McKay. How are you?
Good. Still getting over the fact that my A's got knocked out, but...
Yes, I did.
What a game. 12 innings, and I'm happy for the Royals.
I did see that. So, yes, you will have to wallow around for a little while and now project all of your energy towards hockey.
So, yeah, that and football.
Okay, good. Folks, we also have with us our in-house lending expert, Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua. Tom, how are you?
Umpqua's still a little hard for you to say, huh, Lance?
Well, I only had one coffee this morning, so I should have had two by
now. The P is silent. Umpqua.
Umpqua. Okay, there you go. Very good. How have you been, Tom?
You know, everything's great. We had a really strong third quarter of the year and looking to finish off strong here in the fourth quarter.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, it really did. It kicked over this week to October 1, and I was like, wow, yeah, we are in now the last quarter of the year. And so that's the time where we kind of make those final pushes, hit those end-of-the-year goals. We are tracking for an amazing year, phenomenal real estate sales. Our team personally are just about to crest over what we did last year within a day or two.
Amazing. Ooh, awesome.
And so the growth curve has just been fantastic. A lot of that is because of our listeners on radio. And we appreciate all of the referrals that we've gotten and that the listeners send our way. So thank you for that. And we are looking forward to taking care of your clients into the fourth quarter. So the first thing that we always like to start off with is our crazy celebrity real estate story. And I tell you what, this is pretty awesome. Not very many houses have this. But Gerald Ford's former ski chalet is for sale in Vail, Colorado. And it is for sale right now for $8.5 million after a huge price cut. Gerald was very well known around Vail, Colorado. The residents there really took him in as kind of one of their own, and he gave a lot back to that city. A real estate investor purchased it after he had passed away. A real estate investor purchased it in 2007 for $6 million, spent $4 million renovating it, and he was careful to preserve a lot of the reminders of Ford. So there was, of course, in the entryway, how cool would this be in your house, a presidential seal in the tile work of the entry. Now, that's probably a million-dollar tile job right there, at least, right?
Yeah,
you got to be thinking. So even with all that money put into the house, though, they've had some trouble getting rid of it. First listed back in 2008 for $14 million. Price dropped this year to 12.9, then to 9.4, and now to 8.5. So a little bit of overpricing, I think, going on there, and they've kind of been chasing that market down a little bit.
So they call it a chalet. I wonder, is there a price point you have to hit before you can call your house a chalet?
I think it's got to be $2-3 million.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
So I definitely think it's got to be $2 or $3 million, but pretty fantastic property. The next story is that we have in the national real estate world has really kind of led me to today's topic. And it's not a happy story, and I'm actually probably going to get pretty irritated by the whole thing when I talk about some processes that go on in real estate. So terrible, terrible news this week is out of Little Rock, Arkansas. There was a real estate agent that disappeared last week, and it turns out they ended up finding her body this week, and obviously she had been murdered this week. So terrible, terrible story that comes out of our industry, and this comes from somebody that met a person at a vacant bank-owned house meeting a stranger and then never came back from that meeting. And so a lot of people ask, how does this happen? And what do we need to look at as far as safety protocols in our own business? So I will tell you that over the course of 15 years, I've been in some uncomfortable situations before where I've gotten to a house or pulled up somewhere and it was not what I was expecting. You know, maybe somebody had called for somebody else, and so, you know, you had talked to a woman on the phone, and then you show up to a house and there's three guys that look like bodybuilders there, and you're wondering, is this really who I'm supposed to be meeting? So we have some safety protocols that we have in place at our office where we have call-in numbers, we have time checks. If people haven't called after a certain time period, that if we run into these situations, we've put in a lot of safety protocols into our business. Where I start to get irritated is when people don't quite understand the risk associated with what we do and respect our process that we use to follow that. And so it kind of really rolled into to today's topic, and that was, what is the buyer process and what are the expectations, or what should the expectations be in real estate? So I'll tell you a little bit about some of the calls that we get sometimes. And this is a very normal call. Someone calls in, gentleman calls in, says, hey, I just drove by the listing that you have on Skagit. I see this house is vacant. I'd like to see this house. In that scenario, our first or second question ends up being, okay, do you have a current agent that you're working with that we can contact to help you see that house? They say no. Our second question is, have you talked to a lender to be pre-qualified? There's so many different aspects to that question, but in relation to this news story, that becomes a safety question for us. Because if they're like, no, and a lot of times I get a very terse response, no, I just want to see the house. Are you going to show it to me or not? Well, a lot of times in that case, that's a red flag for us. And if you're not a personal referral from somebody we know or a past client that we've dealt with or in our sphere of influence, then we're going to say, well, actually, no, the seller generally only wants us to show pre-qualified people through the property. That's one of our – we discuss this with the sellers that we work with. Not all sellers are the same. Some sellers out there want agents to show anybody the house, unqualified, whether they're even looking for a home or not. I'm being facetious a little bit. So that just doesn't happen. That's not the case. You know, they're expecting certain professional standards out of us, and that is to make sure we're bringing qualified people through the home. So in that instance, if that client, and I've had them, they just hang up on me on the phone, slam the phone, they'll say, fine, I'll get somebody else to show it to me. I always accept that as that I'm still going to be alive and go home and see my family tonight. Because that is the type of situations that we get into here, and I only wish, and you never know what could have happened or could have prevented that. But of all the times that I've gone through and read these news stories, these terrible tragedies that happen, the police usually don't make one phone call to the lender that the agent primarily works with and says, hey, you know, Lance disappeared from that house on Skagit. Who was the last person that got pre-qualified to see that? You know, if the lender says, oh, well, he lives over on Willard Street, here's his social security number, and here's his address, and here's his credit report. People don't do that when they're going to do bad things like this. You know, they're not going to be willing to give you all of that information if that's what they're planning to do. So for us, it is a filtering mechanism and one of the only mechanisms that we have to help keep our agents safe. And I tell you what, I love every agent on my team. I know their families. We operate like a family. And we're just not going to take those unprofessional chances with our team. So if you do run into those situations, please know that that's why we're doing that, is that safety issue.
Well, think of it this way, folks. You get a phone call from a total stranger, and they say, hey, come meet me at a vacant lot at 7 o'clock at night when it's getting dark.
Yeah.
No. You're going to go, yeah, I got your vacant lot right here, buddy.
And that is a very standard thing that happens in our industry. And so, it's awful. It takes a tragedy like that to bring it to light. And a lot of times people don't understand. They might think we're being too invasive or asking too many personal questions when they just want to look at a property. But, we're not going to make those mistakes that jeopardize our family. And so, that's why we've put those in place. And so number one that I wrote down that talked about in the buying process is we always like to meet with the client at our office before going out to look at homes with them. Once again, that is another professional industry safety protocol for us. 9 times out of 10, what we're doing is we're sitting down and we're saying, what type of home are you looking for? What attracted you about this home? And we're using our virtual tours, we're using our online tools, our 3D imaging to go through these houses, and a lot of times we can narrow their list of 30 down to 5 or 6. So we'd like to have that first in-office consultation, get to know our clients. Once we've done that, then we're very comfortable going out with them and showing them those houses. Also, part of that initial consultation is, what have you and Tom Coyne talked about at Umpqua, and how did that go, and what do we need to factor into our consideration when we're writing an offer? So when we come back from our first break, we're talking about the buying process, what you need to know when you're going out to buy, relating that to some safety protocols that we have to follow in our business. It's crazy. We've been doing the radio show a long time. Mm-hmm. Never have I talked about safety protocols in our business. Really think that was a topic, but we're taking real life stuff that's happening in our local market and bringing it to the show. We'll be right back after the break to talk to the guy with the money, Tom Coyne at Umpqua.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been tackling a new subject today, safety protocols in our professional business. A lot of times in the service industry, we're always service first, client first, whatever they say, whatever they do, and then a tragedy strikes our industry where an agent is lured to a vacant house, the buyer's not pre-qualified, not somebody that is truly looking and has bad intentions. So we've talked about the buying process, steps we've put in place to help keep our agents safe. I indicated I enjoy my entire team, want nothing bad to happen to them. So we have these protocols to make sure that we're operating in a professional environment that keeps everybody safe. One of the biggest tools that we use is asking folks to be pre-qualified with a local lender, somebody that they know has been in business a long time, somebody that they know does not have complaints filed against them. Knowing somebody with a local reputation like that to take care of their financial information and to also let us know, is this a real name and a real person? It seems so basic, but yet we see it still happen. So, Tom, when we make that call to you and we say, hey, here's somebody that wants to go look at some properties, can we check it out? What's kind of the first steps when you get those calls from those potential buyers?
Well, Lance, you made a really good point where, from a safety perspective, it really is a good tool is, have you spoken to a lender and are you pre-approved? Okay, great. Can we get your approval letter? Because if someone has those ill intentions, they're not going to call me and give me all of their information and where I'm going to plug it in my computer, we have it on file, it's just simply not going to happen. So I think that is smart of you, if you're even looking at it from that perspective, is getting your clients pre-approved before you're out showing them houses, not only to know what they can qualify for, but to know that they truly have intentions to buy a house. So it's smart. So when someone comes into me and they want to get pre-approved, the first thing I'm going to have them do is go to my website, and that's TomCoyneHomeLoans.com. I do this for a lot of reasons. One is they're inputting their information, so there's no over the phone or in person. If I mistype their name or I transpose their social security numbers, we get all accurate information when they're plugging in online. And then it also gives me an opportunity before I meet with them to look through their financial situation and find out what is their best option before they ever come in. Maybe there's also things that have come up on the application that requires me to do a little more research or sit down and meet with an underwriter or just gather more information so I know that there's not going to be any surprises on the road. It really helps out to have that application done ahead of time, and that's definitely why we do it.
Now, quick clarification for our listeners. I'm putting you on the spot here. Now, that obviously, you have a lot of regulatory protocol you had to go through to get that website set up because that information has to be secure, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's 100% secure. Umpqua monitors all of that. They've designed the site, set it up. Our operations team does a great job on making sure the website is secure. And when they fill out that application, I have to go in, input all of my personal information, my username, my password, before I can even access that application and download it to my loan software. So there's a lot of little safeguards that we have to protect that information.
And I get that a lot, too, from clients when we're telling them that. So that makes a lot of sense. And, folks, he's not fooling around either with this website. Like, that is his first step. Like, even that's how I had to do it. You know, and I'm on the radio with him. I thought kind of, hey, Tom, here's my stuff. Can I give it to you? And he looked at me and he goes, no.
Go to the website.
Lance, go to the website. You enter all your stuff to the website, and then I'll look at you. But I do the radio show with you. I don't care. That's how it works.
Yep.
And so I've used that website when we did some refis with you, and I can tell you personally, it works so efficient.
You know, I think most people probably takes 5 to 10 minutes at most to fill out that application. But once we see that application actually come through, we're going to call and just get some basic information. Maybe they left some stuff out on the application that we need to get clarification on. We'll find out what sales price are they hoping to purchase for. Is there a payment they're trying to stay around? What kind of down payment, loan term? We're going to get all the basics of what they're hoping. And then we're going to set up a time for the client to come by the office. By this point, I already know what their best option is, and now my job is to explain all their different options and show them why this is the best option for them. So when they come in, we're going to meet face-to-face. It's always best to do business in person. I mean, I believe this in everything. You just simply can't do this with an online lender or some lender in New York. Sitting down face-to-face, going through the numbers, it really makes sure we're all on the same page and the client knows exactly what to expect. The absolute worst thing that can happen is the client calls me on the day of closing and they say, I thought I was only coming in with $10,000 down, but I'm supposed to write a check right now for $17,000. Tom, what happened? You know, this doesn't happen. We just won't allow those mistakes to occur. And that face-to-face interaction is really critical, and that plays a big role in that. Now, occasionally when a client comes in, I'm going to tell them to bring in pay stubs, tax returns, W-2s. Maybe I want to see some bank statements, or maybe they had a bankruptcy and we need to review those documents. But we're going to go through and make sure that everything the client put online on my website, on the application, really matches with what they have going on. Sometimes they'll say they make $4,000 a month, but maybe their pay stubs are only reflecting $3,200 a month. So I'm going to do all the work and look at all the same documentation that an underwriter is going to look at to make sure there's no surprises down the road when we are in underwriting in a week from closing. And then once I've reviewed all that information, we know what their best program is, I'll then issue that approval letter and send that over to the Kenmore team. And that gives them the ability to know that these clients are well qualified. They know exactly what sales price they should be looking for. They know if the clients need seller paid closing costs or not. And then the clients start shopping for a home.
Yeah, fantastic. And that's really when they get kicked back over to us. We've kind of seamlessly worked that out. And so then we're back out with those clients, and now we're starting those house hunting trips. We've met with them in our office. We've narrowed down some options. A lot of times by this point, we've set up an automatic search. A lot of our clients come to us and say, hey, in the next year, I want to live in the Badger Mountain Elementary School or the White Bluffs Elementary or Sunset View. And so they say, send me all the new listings. So we've set up a map gridded search that anytime a new listing pops into that neighborhood, we're shooting those to that client directly. That way, they have the pre-approval letter in place because they've met with Tom. And when we see those new listings and they're the gems, the best well-kept houses in that neighborhood, we're ready to make those offers immediately. So that a lot of times we've already narrowed down what a client doesn't want, so that when we see a house for the first time, a lot of times we know. You walk in the front door, and I always tell people, I told some sellers this yesterday as I was looking at their house, most people have bought the house at about the 10th step in. Mm-hmm. You know, if you walk in a house for 10 steps, you've looked at pictures online, you can see left, right, forward, and they usually turn and say, this is the one.
You know, Lance, you know what I love about your automated search setups is that a lot of times when a house comes on the market and it's just perfect for somebody, it's probably perfect for 10 other people that are looking for the house too.
Right, exactly.
And so if someone's out trying to find the houses on their own, I mean, it could be 3 days before they come across that listing. And by then, you already have your buyers under contract on that house. They could be the first one through the doors.
Absolutely. A lot of times we're selling houses before the sign's in the yard because the agent will input it in the computer. It'll hit our website. It'll hit our map gridded searches. It'll go to the client. The sign company usually doesn't come till the next day. We're usually showing that house that night and having everything wrapped up. We just did a new first-time home buyer couple. We had one like that in West Richland. You know, West Richland, $165,000. They don't come up very often, and those, you know, are just perfect starter homes up there. So yeah, it was the same type of thing as we had that thing under contract before the sign was in the yard. So it really, really makes a big difference. From that point forward, then you're really working with that buyer's agent to negotiate the best possible deal for you. They're preparing an analysis of pricing for you, making sure that's at the market price, making sure you're getting the best possible deal, and then utilizing any discounts or credits that come through, like our Homes for Heroes program, closing costs that Tom might have said that they needed, and then we're utilizing that information to write really, really aggressive accepted offers.
Let me stop you. You write your offer. You're under contract in your house.
Yes.
Things you don't want to do.
I saw it at my office this week, and I freaked out because I have this thing about it. Don't go buy a new car.
No new cars.
Don't open any credit accounts. Even if you want to do a remodel after you close, and you think, gosh, as soon as I close on the house, I'm going to use a $10,000 line of credit or Home Depot, 18 months, no interest. Do not open any of those accounts until after you have your keys and it's officially recorded at the county.
And that goes for boats and snowmobiles and airplanes, too.
I literally saw in the office yesterday, there was a car in the parking lot with a new car. I run upstairs, I look around the office, and I'm hoping no one's meeting with a client. Like, I hope it's one of my agents. I mean, I'm just like on red alert about that stuff. I'm like, whose new car is that? And they're like, oh,
why is there a new car out
like,
there?
Somebody's getting their oil changed. And so they used it from the dealer, and I'm just like, oh, thank goodness. Like, I really get, like, nervous when I see new cars in our office parking lot.
Yeah, no new accounts. Maybe you're trying to save up for the down payment, so you thought, oh, I'll just skip this payment this month. You know, really important you save up on all your payments. Don't have anyone pulling your credit. Don't open anything new, because a lot of people think that once we take the application and we start the loan, that's the last time we're going to pull a credit. That's not the case. The day before closing, we're going to refresh your credit report to make sure there's nothing new on there.
Absolutely. Real quick, we're running up on our hard break, but I want to get some property in real quick. Brand new listing, 1636 Manchester Street in Richland. That's in South Richland. 4-bedroom, 3-bath, plus a den, 2,600 square feet. This has an amazing living room with extra windows, gas fireplace, tall ceilings, granite counters, and hickory cabinets in the kitchen. Folks, master on the main level, new tradition built house, resale house, slider off the dining area to covered patio. Priced at $310,000.
Ooh.
This is where right next door, real close to the brand new elementary school that they're building in South Richland. This location is just killer right off of Keene there. Fantastic. Pick number two, we are out in Horn Rapids. We've had a couple sales over the last couple weeks in Horn Rapids. That area seems to be moving very well for us. We have a 2972 Red Rock Ridge Loop, a four-bedroom, two-bath Rambler, okay, in Horn Rapids. One level, 2356 square feet. So that is a nice big Rambler all on one level. Huge great room, access to your patio. Once again, this kitchen is dialed in, granite counters, tile floors, huge master suite that also accesses the patio. And we're getting all of this, that much square footage, in a Rambler for $315,000. So that is a fantastic listing out there. And then the third one that I wrote down here, North 37th Court in Pasco, 1312 North 37th. This is four-bedroom, three-bath house on a cul-de-sac. So you've got the low-traffic cul-de-sac location, 2,100 square feet, bedroom on the main floor with a walk-in closet and bathroom access, could double as a second master. Huge master on the upper level that has a gas fireplace also. Fully fenced backyard. And this is coming in at $179,000. So 2137 square feet, newer home, four bed, three bath for $179,000. Folks, there's a lot of great inventory in the fourth quarter. There's a lot of houses to be sold in the fourth quarter. And there's also fantastic time left to still list and sell your home. We want to interview for that job of doing that. You can go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. We would love that. If you are shopping for a loan, looking for a house, I don't care who you've talked to, if you have not talked to Tom at Umpqua, I highly suggest that you get over there, do some comparison shopping, and take a look at it. You will not be disappointed. Tom, what's that number?
783-7300.
And remember, folks, today's topic was being safe. Mm-hmm. If you have safety protocols in your profession, we went over what ours are in our office at the Kenmore team. If you have those in your profession because of the tragedy we've seen, please relook at those. Recommit to following those, and everybody just have a safe week, because we want to be talking to you again right here next weekend.
Right here on News Talk 870.